Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and I want to be honest, folks, because I think that we are all in the trust tree on this show, deep into quarantine season. I didn't want to get off a mega chair today. I did not want to come in here. Like, there's some days that you just don't want to run your damn mouth. Today is one of those days, but I'm going to improvise, adapt, and I'm going to overcome, and I'm going to accomplish the objective at hand. And that's to give an entertaining show, because we have a full one lined up with you, including some interviews on a fella who was with them whenever they went to the Bin Laden raid. And what was that town called? Islamabad. Well, that's where they went, and we're going to talk to them a little bit about that. Dog goofing. If you see a social media clip, there's going to be one where you see a beautiful, beautiful young little Malinois that is roaming around his house. It's going to be wonderful. And today, not only that, but we have five full rounds in the magazine. Round number one.
I didn't have that when I had the interview, the F-18 guy.
I'll improvise, adapt, and overcome again. You ready for it?
Okay.
All right, so round number one. A British Royal Navy captain was fired for a barbecue. Did he overcook the steak, not season the meat enough, or use propane instead of coal? We're going to find out. Round number two, another Kate special. Internet's the word when it comes to the Navy's latest experiment. You heard that right, Bird. Internet. Hopefully that's really takes flight for them. Round number three, crippling depression is no joke, but maybe it sort of is when it comes to one tank crew in the Army. Round number four, we're going to do a little interview with F-18 systems builder Chris Davis. You can hear his soul die when I ask him if he's basically a Napa discount auto parts worker that works on F-18. He kind of dies a little bit on the inside there. Good dude. You're going to want to hear from him.
F-18s.
Yeah. Yeah. And round number five, it's not a sky dick, but it's still pretty cool. A student from Towson University in Maryland took the skies over Aberdeen to spell out the word fuck COVID-19. And we salute you, sir. And round number six, we're going to have that interview with Navy SEALs, two Navy SEALs, actually. One is a stuntman. One is a dog handler who has a new book called No Ordinary Dog. It's about his dog that he took on the SEALs mission, SEAL Team 6 mission, to kill Osama bin Laden with three shots to the face. And all of that is going to be brought to you by something else that you could put right in your mouth, like when Osama bin Laden did a 7.62 round courtesy of Rob O'Neill.
What?
We can talk.
That's
There's
accurate.
A couple people that you could talk about that their death is good. Bin Laden, always joke about bin Laden's death. You can always joke about Mussolini. You can always joke about Hitler. You can always joke about Kim Jong-un.
No, I'm just saying it's an intro for an ad.
No,
but go
it's
on
fine.
Now.
You
intrigued.
Can take a Feltman's hot dog deeper in your
Jesus.
Throat than bin Laden Life. Took the 5.56 courtesy of Rob O'Neill's M4 or whatever else he had whenever he took him out. But these hot dogs are delicious. They've been sending us some. I got three packs in the mail yesterday. McCartney basically has hot dog belly at this time. It's wonderful because it's not filled with nitrates like so many other hot dogs out there. It's a natural spice blend of the hot dog, and it's the original hot dog from Coney Island, and it's brothers that started it, Michael and Joe Quinn. You might know Joe Quinn because he was our guest. He used to be the CEO of Headstrong, which is the organization that we really care about a lot. And a majority of the company has served in the U.S. military. Three are West Point grads. Don't hold that against them. But the whole team has served total of 31 years in uniform and 113 months deployed. Make sure you're helping those guys out by helping us out too. Go to feltmansofconeyisland.com and enter the promo code zero for 10% off. That's feltmansofconeyisland.com and enter the code zero for 10% off. Tag ZBT and Feltmans, and we're going to share those two. Literally the best hot dog that you're ever going to eat in your life. Even during quarantine season with no baseball on, I'm still munching down on, oh, not only this, I'm eating these hot dogs. I've been crushing the fucking pickle game too. I've been eating
with
these hot dogs, having a little bit of their mustard on it. I must have eaten an entire jar of pickles yesterday with two hot dogs, pickles, the mustard, and crab chips. It was unbelievable.
Oh, perfect. All right.
I have to admit something, because as we said, we are in the trust tree. The other night, it was late, and I just kind of wanted a little bite of something. Mm-hmm. I didn't want a whole meal. I just wanted a little bite.
Let it out.
So I go into the refrigerator. I see the jar of pickles. I'm all right, cool. What else can I do? I see some uncooked Taylor ham, and I just grab a slice of that uncooked Taylor ham. I put the pickle in the middle, a little Feltman's mustard. Man, that was
what
delicious.
The fuck does Taylor ham have to do with Feltman's hot dogs, Con?
Because I put the Feltman's mustard on it.
Yeah. Hey, during this hot dog ad for Feltman's hot dog, here's a totally different meat that I ate.
You could have least said you took it, you threw the Taylor ham on the skillet, wrapped the hot dog with it.
Pork roll. Okay, call it pork roll. Sorry, I grew up calling it Taylor ham. It's not a brand, don't worry.
Still missing
Feltman's, you're still the only people in my heart.
God,
that's why
Con.
I used your mustard.
Episode 260. Cons doesn't know we're doing it at the top of the show. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Real quick.
I'm too good just for that.
Can you send me? Oh, I don't have iMessage on my computer. Send me the Zoom.
Oh, put caviar, baby fish eggs on mine. Oh, it's a mustard. It's like Grey Poupon, but better.
All right, let's start the show.
Real quick, behind the scenes, I got a text from my roommate there. She goes, "Ooh, you're so disgusting," when she heard what I just ate.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're back. It's still quarantine season, and things are getting out of control. Like I was saying, normally there is some parts of quarantine season that I enjoy. And now let me tell you what that is. One, the pressure of getting my children up and out the door in order to be at school on time hasn't existed since early March. That's nice. So if they want to sleep in, let's say, to 6:45 or 7, they can do that. They're up a little bit later. They're all about. That being said, I don't want to see them anymore. I'm just fucking tired of them. It's brutal.
I think it's tough when you're used to just these people leaving the house every day and you have – a routine and your nice office there, and you're not expecting to hear dad. And then all of a sudden, last month and a half, nothing but dad.
And it's even worse for my wife. Like, she hears it way more. Like, they come looking for mom all the time. Not so much me, because they know that I'm basically incompetent, but whatever. When we're in the house and we're doing all these different things, you do get into this routine. And one of the things I always say, McCartney's a very difficult kid. They have a huge personality, big boisterous personality, but that comes with some issues too. One of McCartney's saving graces that always has gone to bed on time, like goes to bed, sleeps well in the bed at 8:15, no later, and will sleep until 6:30 on the dot every day. Well, last night we were trying to watch a little bit of TV show, getting into the West Wing again. McCartney comes wandering in the room like 10:15. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, you haven't done this in forever. And I can't sleep. I don't know what's going on. I can't sleep. Well, come to find out, I find out from McCartney's sister, McCartney was just chilling upstairs watching TV, took advantage that me and my wife go into our room, shut the door, and we have the TV on in there. McCartney just hanging out, watching TV through the Xbox. Like, nothing's going on. I'm like, oh, I can't sleep. So I wanted to come say goodnight again. You can't sleep because you were watching Fuller House. That's the reason why you can't sleep.
It's addicting. I'll give her that.
I mean, next time I'm probably going to go up there. She's going to be knee deep in a Feltman's hot dog. Just like,
I don't know.
Little midnight snack. Yeah.
We got any Taylor ham, Dad?
Yeah. Real hankering for some Taylor ham.
Can I tell you what I've been doing that's getting out of
control? Please.
This is the first week where I've started impulse buying an insane amount. Before the show, I went and scrolled through, you can look on your Amazon orders. it's insane. The amount of needless dumb shit I'm starting to buy. And because I'm telling myself, you're not spending money at the bars. You're not spending money at restaurants anymore. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just waste it on? I spilled an enormous bowl of Reese's Puffs, I'm sure I mentioned before, into my couch crevice. Spilled another one the other day. Spork's claw came up, pulled my arm down as I was pulling a bowl over to my mouth. Another bowl of milk in the couch. So I just said, you know what? I'm just going to buy a new Lazy Boy. I went online. I just bought a brand new American made. No free ads. But it's a beaut. It's a love seat. And guess what color I got?
Oh, I love this game. No, don't tell me. Purple.
Oh, I was going to say red.
Or mint.
White.
Oh, my God. Why would you do that?
Yes.
You are oh, my God. You're brain dead.
It's like buying – if you buy an expensive pen, you're not always going to lose your pen.
No, that's not how it works with you.
If you get a white couch, you're not going to spill on it.
Catherine.
You got to – is anyway, it still out for delivery? You got to return that thing now.
Can we cancel that guy?
Well, actually, so their whole factory here has been
shut
down.
Yeah, you
got to
cancel that order, Kate. You got to go.
So she called.
You can't do this.
She called. She was like, we have one in mushroom we could send you now. And I was like, lady, I'm holding out. I want that crisp white couch.
Dude,
send it.
Is going to take one fat dumper, come sit down, and there's going to be a fucking cat butthole streak on your couch.
He's literally licking his asshole as we speak on my pillow on my bed. But so also then I ordered, I was like, well, I got a white couch. I got to change the rug. I ordered a brand new rug. Then I'm like, well, you got to get new throw pillows. Ordered
You've
new
only
pillows.
Been in this then apartment I, for like 4 months.
Then I said to myself, the air's a little stuffy in here. I ordered a ton of oxygen plants that just shoot oxygen out of them. I said, it's a whole new me. I shifted my closet around. I'm putting all knickknacks everywhere. It's been a whole thing.
I do want to say from one of your Instagram stories, you've also gone back on your word. You said you were going to be a one cup, one plate, one bowl lady, and your entire cabinet and kitchen was out there on display.
Can I tell you, that was 2 days ago, and that's literally every dish I have. My counter space is maybe 2 feet, and that's it. A 2 foot counter space and a sink. So I really do only have 2 plates, like 3 bowls, whatever. But every single dish now is dirty. I filled them with water and dish soap the other day to let them soak.
Soaking is so overrated. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Soaking only really works with like pans that have deep grease in them.
So 2 days ago, they're all soaking full of bubbles. Now they're all just sitting there full of water. I have still not done them from 2 days ago. They're just sitting there.
Hey, make sure you get that white couch. Can't handle your dishes, but you're going to get a white couch and keep that guy.
Now, the only thing I will say that helps with soap, like lasagna, like a good baked-in lasagna, it'll help break down that a little bit. Other than that, it's just like, oh, I don't want to get these crusty biscuit bottoms off. Like, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I could use? A power washer, Chaps.
Oh, yeah. So I've been making some – I've been making – honest to God, if my wife looks at my credit card statement, I'm going to get in big trouble because not only have I been buying shit for around the house, I got to talk a little quieter because she might be out there listening.
Go ahead.
So this is going to be good.
Spill the tea.
I got a pressure washer that was completely unnecessary.
Hell yeah.
I ordered her a huge massage chair for her office for Mother's Day.
Ooh.
It's like enormous and there's nowhere for her to put it. So she's not gonna like that. I've ordered so much shit from my truck. I'm talking probably legit 3-4 grand worth of stuff for my truck. And
love it.
Just paying it off on my credit card, just paying it off, just going out and throwing it out. And I'm like, she's gonna be so mad when she sees how much money I've spent. But
I feel like
what are you gonna
Mother's
do?
Day gifts, husbands buying Mother's Day gifts. I feel like even growing up, my dad always got my mom something that she was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, why did you get us a surprise cat? Why did you get us this?
Because you're trying to make it as special as possible. It's so tough because if you don't do anything, here's the thing with Mother's Day. Like, if you don't do anything, then you're in big time trouble. Even if it's a very specific, I don't want any type of gifts thing. I want the kids to make something. I can't get the kids to make anything. I'm not crafty at all. I can't do any of that stuff. I've tried several times to do nice, really nice gifts, but this one was actually a success. And I'm going to actually prove it to you right now. I'm going to pull it up because this one, the pressure washer wasn't even the Mother's Day gift, but it came.
Can I tell you though?
Go ahead.
Pressure washer. I think that's a great tool to have.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're going to find you're going to use that more than you
realize.
Oh, dude,
I'm going to be out there all the time, like cleaning my truck and stuff like that. It's going to be fun, like putting it on there. Mm-hmm. But It said, she posted a Facebook that says, "My Mother's Day present came early. I've been needing to pressure wash well our entire house. After 10 years of marriage, my lover really gets me." How nice is that? So she feels like, wow. Isn't that adorable?
You nailed it.
Nailed it.
You crushed
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Good However, though, I am a little concerned about the both of you, and we might have to sit down and have a financial responsibility class.
Oh, I'm good. Oh, God. Because I haven't gone into, I haven't gone over my stolen F-250 fund. That's, it's like a slush fund.
Me, mine's fine. I'm good.
The stolen F-250 slush fund is what I'm calling it. You just get whatever you want. It's free money, essentially, even though I still lost like $5 or $6 grand because of everything happened. All right, let's get
lucky
into
you.
Oh, Cons, you got anything going on besides eating Taylor Ham?
No. All right, cool. Nothing.
Let's get into the actual show. We are going to start with a story from across the pond, right? Yeah, little British Royal Navy goop. What do we got, Kate?
Sweepy chimney, governor. Woo, woo, woo. Oh, Harry, a boy in eight.
Harry Potter.
Okay, is Harry Potter, the old wizard, Harry. Okay, is everybody in the mode now? Oh, yeah. You know where we are?
Yeah, Harry Potter stinks.
You stink.
Okay. We're in the UK. That's where we're at. Surprise. So this is coming to us from James Clark at Task and Purpose. A captain in the United Kingdom's Royal Navy. By the way, Royal Navy sounds so much cooler.
It does.
Than Navy.
Oh, it
how
does.
About this? Yeah. The British Royal Marines? Mm-hmm. Get out
Oh, my
of
God.
Town.
Mm-hmm. Grab the mops, daddies. That was weird. Yes. A captain in the United a captain in the United Kingdom's Royal Navy has reportedly been relieved of command for throwing a party while at port in the midst of a global pandemic. Now, at first you hear that and you're like, yeah, that's really irresponsible. That's really bad. But hear this out. According to BBC, Commander Jonathan Lewis, the commanding officer of the HMS Trenchant, permitted the crew to host an outdoor barbecue while they were supposed to be on lockdown at the dock in Plymouth, England. In light of the coronavirus, Lewis was advised not to go ahead with plans for the party, given that hanging out around a smoker, that's what they call barbecues, adorable, with your buddies isn't
conducive.
That's what
we call it, too. If they're actually barbecuing, it would be a smoker. Kate, what are we doing here?
I know, but like, do you want to go to the smoker queue? I feel like they call it a little different. I don't know. With your buddies isn't conducive to social distancing. But here's why I think his party was okay. And why. So as the Telegraph reported, the Trafalgar-class submarine had been at sea for months and was undergoing a period of routine maintenance. So this submarine crew has only been with themselves. Mm-hmm. They were out at sea under the water for months. They come back. They're having a barbecue with just their crew. They were already together on this fucking submarine. Why do you care if they're having a party above land together?
Right.
The video of the party was published by the Telegraph. Fuck the Telegraph, by the way.
Whoa.
Blue Falcons. Blue Falcons throwing them under the bus like that and shows the crew enjoying what is arguably a well-deserved, if ill-advised, gathering. And it's they're having a great time. They're out by the smoker. They got a big, long picnic table of stuff. They're wearing their little Royal Navy uniforms. They're eating some ribs, some steak tips, some Feltman's hot
some
dogs.
Some bangers and mash.
There. Bangers and mash at Taylor Ham. Roughly 9% of the UK's military were unable to serve as of April 16th due to COVID-19. That's pretty tough when 9% of your military is taken out because of the virus. Mm-hmm. And militaries across the globe, as we know, are facing a lot of challenges. So they took this. They said, no, it's too serious. And they took away his command. So this Commander Lewis, he is relieved of his duties. He'll get to stay in the Navy, but he's taken off.
We got to relax on this, relieving people from command for minor shit. And also, with that being said, Captain Crozier, still they're doing another investigation. They got to let this story die. Just tell them, hey, dude, we fucked up. You're not going to have any blemishes on your record, but we can't keep having this in the news. Like, it's a bad look to do it. You can't put that guy back in charge of that ship. Because then if something happens, then you're super fucked. If something bad happens on that ship and he's the one that took back over, you can't put him back in charge of that ship. Same thing here. Like you were saying, Kate, it's the same thing that we had whenever they had the big going away for Captain Crozier when he left. All those folks have been together for months at sea. If they're going to be around each other, giving each other coronavirus, it's already happened. Let them hang out. Let them be one of the only pockets left who can enjoy it, who can enjoy being together. They should have their own little bar set up, their own little village where they could do whatever they want to.
All right. Exactly. A few things. Number one, do you guys know what HMS is?
HMS?
Yes. The HMS Trenchant. What HMS stands for?
Health and
Hit
Medical
my
Services.
Slammer.
Her Majesty's Ship. So we're talking about cool names. Her Majesty's Ship, which is, I think that's cool as shit.
Damn.
Number two, I'm going to go on the other side and play a little devil's advocate. While I agree, it's ridiculous because obviously they are not infected if they were together for a few months. The problem lies in other units looking at this, and then people start making excuses and saying like, oh, well, our unit was out in the field and da-da-da-da-da. And you start causing problems across the rest of the Navy. So rather than deal with all those headaches, they just say blanket, like, no parties. So this guy, although I understand what he did and ultimately probably not going to hurt anybody, it's a situation where you're just causing problems that don't need to arise. However, I don't think he should have lost command of his ship.
Now, I have a new take that I just popped into my old little brain housing group right now. If I was an 06, if I was a captain in the Navy and I knew pretty certain that I wasn't going to pick up a star, that I was just going to, my higher three tenure was going to be 06, I would do everything I possibly could to get fired doing something really cool that the troops would love, like throwing a big ass party, doing something that people talked about for years, like, oh yeah, Captain McNeely lost his ship, but that motherfucker threw a party whenever he got out.
You know, you know what I would do? You know that little picture of submarine, okay? Submarines just underneath the water so that you can stand on it. And
like the submarine version of the turtle head.
Yes, turtle head poking up. You're standing on it, and then but the only thing that's above ground is the periscope. Mm-hmm. It's about head level. So all you see is me standing out in the ocean, periscope head level. I'm just blowing a big old honking line off the top of that.
Oh, doing coke.
Saying, look at this, for sure.
Oh, doing nose beers out at sea.
I mean, I feel like that would really rustle some feathers, right?
You are absolutely right. Having an active captain of a ship snorting lines off of a periscope would be newsworthy. That'd be round number one.
Right, thank you. Yeah, that's my way of going.
First female that is in charge of a Navy submarine caught doing lines off the portal.
I just wanted to show the male commanders that I could fuck up even harder than they can. You know, or big.
You
step
want us
for
to
women.
Be alert at sea? I'll show you alert. How about so alert that I'm paranoid?
Yeah, we're going 10,000 leagues under, guys. Come on, let's go. Beep 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 beep. But I was just thinking, like,
keep it in weight standards. When though.
For sure. The number one thing this circles back to, though, which is so many things in the military would never be a problem if people could keep their damn cell phones away.
Seriously.
Nobody would have known about this party had it not been for Schmuckatelli, for Admiral Schmuckatelli and the British, who had to get his phone out and do whatever. But you know what, Cons?
What's that?
Seems like they really grilled him.
Yeah, he got roasted.
Yeah, he's straight up burned by his command.
I mean, they smoked him.
Guess he shouldn't have made that mistake.
I mean, I guess they just thought he was being a little too saucy.
Wow.
I pulled into a Wendy's at 3 a.m. and said I've wanted to die since the day I was born. Let's move on to round number two. All right, round number two. We're going to do a little bird internet goofing.
Before we begin, both of you... Yeah. Explain to me, you can't look at your computers. Cons, how does the internet work?
Basically, it's just like a bunch of cables and servers. And then, you know, people's computers talk to the servers and then it goes across the internet to talk to other servers and then other computers, basically, okay. I think. Right?
All right. Dave Matthews wrote a song about this. There's actually called a thing called satellites that is all up in the upper atmosphere and they're all interconnected. And the distance between straight lines is actually shorter in space because you have less gravity there. So whenever you're going through, the data bounce around the Earth. And that's the reason why we have it built in a big old tunnel, because it is a circular device. Think about it, going around corners. The internet waves can kind of pie the corner in military terms to get around there, to go to your computers, to get in and out of these little wires. They're all wiggly diggly whenever they're going in there. And then there's a bunch, each one of the little fibers in internet cords has its own individual like T9 calculator that is just like just going through this matrix of numbers. And then this green screen pops up and there's all these little marks on it. And then you know exactly that you got to youporn.com.
Yes, 110%. If you guys listening don't understand internet after both of those, then I don't know how to help you with this segment. but Bird Internet. Right. I had to click. This was one of those where I had to click the story because I had no idea what the fuck that meant. And this is another one from Task and Purpose, Jared Keller. So he says, there are two words that could transform the nature of battlefield communications as we know it. So we're talking battlefield comms here. Bird Internet. So communications networks. They're made up of internet-enabled biological nodes in this case, a.k.a. birds and dogs, who, outfitted with wireless technology, function as moving network hubs for military personnel in battlefields. So I'm going to explain this in a second, but I named it networks that don't exist, meaning that they don't exist for noticeable periods of time or within well-defined areas of space, explained Naval Postgrad School Research Alex Bordesky. They move so quickly from one place to another, and then they're setting streets. So what they're saying is, he's saying is, animals move around, one. We know that. Birds and dogs do be moving. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. And so I'm pretty sure he's talking about strapping little internet backpacks onto them and just sending them out into battlefields. And so then it's like, you know, you're near a wireless hub. This wireless hub's coming to you from the sky for about 2 seconds and then dipping out.
Makes sense.
according to the Navy, this bird internet could increase our range and discreteness to avoid countermeasures. Like, good luck blocking our comm during this battle, Russia.
That might be we've ever explained anything in the history of the podcast. Wait.
Good luck blocking our communications, Russia. We've got an eagle with an antenna coming out of its ass, flying across the battlefield.
That's so American if I ever heard anything.
The PowerPoint slides for this thing are insane, by the way. There's a giant faded eagle that has the word initial studies on it. And on top of the faded eagle is a Humvee, several dogs, two men with guns, and they're pointing up at a drone with an eagle attacking the drone. This is like an actual military slide.
I like to picture my internet with like giant eagle's wings and it's like, front row at Leonard Skinnerd.
They're saying they're going to strap, like, a tactical mesh. So internet birds just flocking over a battlefield, shooting internet laser beams everywhere, and then they disappear. That's how I took this.
I don't hate this idea. I'm sorry. DARPA,
are you listening? DARPA, please.
But that's just going to increase the amount of falconers that are in the military, too. I think that they're going to be out there doing more and more bird shit. That would be an amazing MOS. Getting people in and out of the military, and you're going to be a bird handler that's just doing Wi-Fi. The skill set that you would have in order to go out and do that after you're done, just strapping little GoPros and mesh networks onto birds and just having them go over. But what happens if you lost or you lose your, how are you going to reset it? You can't really unplug a bird and plug it back in.
Well, but the Navy's working on it.
You gotta take the bird,
you know,
turn it over, blow in its asshole, and then send it back out again.
You try shaking that bird?
Yeah.
You shake that bird yet?
What's the password? Up, down, left, right, BA, select, start.
Yeah. It's the Konami code bird. But they also said they might use them for jamming the GPS of other militaries. So guess what? You know that pigeon Humvee that we got that's just full of pigeons? You open up the doors. Guess what, Russia? You can't talk to each other.
Well, it'd be kind of like on the Hunger Games. What did they have on the Hunger Games? The Mockingjays that would go out and they would constantly surround you and things like that. And if we could legit shame Mockingjays from the Hunger Games, ooh, buddy, look out. They drove Rue crazy.
Other things, they're also working on birds taking down, they're training birds to take down drones of other militaries. It's called the Raptor Enterprise.
I've seen the video of it, and it is insane. These raptors are huge. I sent Marty Mush, actually, a picture of a Texas raptor. They could be like 8 feet across in their wingspan going across. Imagine like a pterodactyl-type bird coming at you while you're sitting in a sniper position on some fucking hut, and then all of a sudden, here comes a falcon, like, coming to get you.
And it's going down. That's that, and then strapping cameras to shit like eagles and stuff. And then, so the bird with the internet.
Call
it
eagle eyes.
See, there's two guys on either side, or ladies on either side of a battlefield, and they're sending the eagle back and forth to each other over the battlefield, and that's the eagle has the internet inside of it. I tried so hard to understand this. Anyway, I would like to see dolphin internet and giraffe internet. Great, great cell tower. You know what I mean?
My question is, though, it seems like we're going backwards with this stuff. Why wouldn't they just create, like, tiny little drones that could serve?
Well, because they can block the signal. I don't understand why. It's going to have, like, with a drone, you can block the signal. They have that all the time. There's been ones that, I think it was in Libya, actually, where they had this big-time protest that was happening in Libya, and they had all these government drones were, like, flying over to get pictures of everybody, and they – all the people in the crowd started flashing these lasers at it, like the little laser pointer, and it hit at the bottom of the drone, and it was causing the drones to crash. So if you do that and you have a jammer, you can get the electronic drones out of the air.
Got it. Got it.
So good luck jamming a Peregrine Falcon, idiot.
All right, let's move on to round number three. That was...
Are you sure I have... I had seven more paragraphs.
These, as quarantine season continues to go on, when Kate, so just for those keeping score at home, Kate writes the Friday episodes. I write the Tuesday episodes. Friday episodes, I feel like, are going to get stranger and stranger as Kate goes deeper and deeper into many different rabbit holes. I think that's what's going to happen.
Bird law, bird internet.
Yep, because obviously the next round is going to be crippling depression tank. So what do we, Cons, what do we got for there?
Sorry.
Oh, not paying attention. Firewatch for Cons.
Sleep at the wheel. Somebody send a falcon over there to tap that guy on the head.
I was looking up Texas Raptors. Sorry. Hand down.
Yeah, they're huge.
All right, round number three. I was telling Kate before we started that when it comes to naming tanks or naming artillery, you get to name it whatever you want, basically. No one has ever come up with a name, really, unless it's just completely offensive and gotten it shot down. So as long as the first letter of the name is the same letter as your battery, so as an example, Bravo Battery was the first one I thought of back when I was serving. They had a paladin that was named Bitchneck. I don't know what Bitchneck is, but that was the name of the paladin.
Oh, bitch neck head ass.
But this can sometimes lead to tanks being given some less than savory names. But also, a lot of times people will name their tanks after celebrities like Dwayne Johnson or Betty White. Imagine that. You're just rolling down the battlefield. Oh, there's Betty White coming to just wreck your shit.
Imagine getting to hell and finding out, well, what took me out? Betty White. Sorry. Damn it, I loved her.
She's a bad bitch.
Yeah.
But so anyway, U.S. Army WTF Moments posted a tweet with a picture, and it said, my quarantine anthem, and the tank's name was Crippling Depression.
Yeah. So
now, what I want to know is, was it Crippling Depression before this period, or was it recently rechristened Crippling Depression?
I don't know. What is the thing that it's written on? I call it a boomer hole or whatever. What do you call that?
I mean, a barrel, right?
A barrel?
Okay, the barrel. Okay. So Crippling Depression is written across the barrel, and then at the thick part, thick with two C's behind that barrel, is the Grim Reaper, and then it says Crippling Depression on it, on this tank. And it just really, I feel like, really connected with all of us during this period of isolation. So I just was delighted by it.
Yeah.
Some people in the comments were also suggesting names, and I like this one. Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
All of it down one side. I wasn't reading those in order at first with the Pepto-Bismol thing.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
But in order, it would be pretty fucking great.
Well, this reminded people of 1st Armored Division in the Army. They have an official verified Twitter account, and they did a tweet last year that said, commitment is an act, not a word. Hashtag Wednesday Wisdom, hashtag Iron Soldiers, hashtag Readiness. And they posted a photo of a tank. Or now I'm afraid because of tank Twitter. I'm like, is it a tank? Is it an Abrams? Whatever. They posted
That's
a photo
a
of this tank. And the boomer stick on it says, or the barrel.
Boomer stick. Yeah, we'll go with that.
It says, if you zoom in on the picture, which they didn't realize when they tweeted it, this tank is just named Dropped as a Baby. So
I thought it said
it
when
out.
I first saw it, I thought it said Draper as a baby, like as an allusion to John Hamm's enormous penis.
This is said dropped as a, so they did this like serious tweet and they didn't realize the tank said dropped as a baby on it. But I was asking you guys, Cons, you said Bitchneck. Chaps, is there any dogs with weird names when you
there was this dog that was an army dog, his name was Pussy Mouth.
What? Why?
I can't believe you actually believe that, Kate. There's no dog name.
I was like, why the fuck would they do that?
So Kate, like, to give a little background, Kate was asking for a weird dog's name, and I was just sitting in the chair this morning, not paying attention. I was like, yeah, Pussy Mouth. And nobody said anything back. I'm like, okay, well, she probably bought that. And here it is on the sheet.
I was like, maybe they called the dog PM or something. They never said it was named Pussy Mouth. I picture the write-up. God forbid something ever happened to that dog. And they're like, terrible news, Pussy Mouth.
Well, I was hoping my initial plan was that one of you guys would be like, why was the dog named Pussy Mouth? And I was going to say that because it had all of its teeth pulled out and it was just pink on the inside. His mouth was all pink on the inside.
Oh, God.
And ridgy.
Now, if you guys had a tank... If you guys had a tank today, uh-huh. I'm assuming, Chaps, you would name yours Pussy yeah. Mouth. Cons, what would you name yours?
Oh, that's tough. I don't know. I'm not very good at naming things. Mm. I'm not. That's just not something that has struck me throughout my life as being good at.
I think I would name one that when people saw it rolling over the hill, they'd be like, what? My tank would be all women. And it would just say in huge letters, "Veiny Clit."
Oh my God!
And you would just, here comes that veiny clit.
Yours would definitely be duty balls.
Yeah, and that makes more sense because there's not, you know, too many units that start with a V.
True.
But there is Delta Battery.
The woman's unit would be the VT.
I could see you if you were a tank commander and you, you're the clit commander and you had the barrels of clit on.
Yeah, exactly. Silent Bob would be on the thing. Anyway.
Yeah, let's move on to see what they talk about. An F-18, a systems builder that's there. He is a Marine Corps active duty member, actually. His name is Chris Davis, and he does things with the F-18 systems builder. I didn't understand it at first. You're going to very clearly see that was the case. I had no idea what he was talking about his job is, which is a common thing in these career day interviews. Here's Chris Davis talking about his job, which is an F-18 system builder. All right, now on Zero Block 30's career day, we have Chris Davis. Chris, what do you do?
I am an ALIMS technician. I do like most of the comm stuff for the F-18 squadrons.
So what does that mean? So what do you like? What does that actually mean?
All right. So I'll bore you with it. So there are several server systems that that maintain different databases across our flight line. So each aircraft has a specific database that they have to depend on for like gear, equipment for the pilots, and I'm basically the dude that maintains the server systems and makes sure that nothing crashes, so pilots have everything available to them from, you know, and maintainers, so like all the tools, all of the flight equipment, all the components are logged in that system, and I just make sure it's all available to them for work and checkout.
So what is your day-to-day job like? So you step on the flight line, what's the first thing you do?
So a lot of times I'll just go in and do like a backup. So I have to go in and make sure that everything, like nothing crashed overnight. I'll walk around. We have a first sergeant right now. So I'll go and see if first sergeant's good. And he's usually just like talking about the BlackBerry. So I'll take care of the BlackBerry. I do like a lot of almost like Geek Squad Best Buy stuff. Like I'll go and check on all the computers as well.
You actually mean like the cell phone BlackBerry.
Oh yeah, yeah, and we still use those. It's like a lot of. Well, we just upgraded to iPhones this year. I'm sure they're going to be like 6s or something, but yeah, I take care of all that as well.
So what the system that you work on? What does it actually do for the F-18?
Okay, so I work on a system called Nalcomis. Basically, anytime a jet comes back and there's a component that doesn't work, or it's been damaged, it's logged too many flight hours. They have to put it into work. So the system that they put it into work in, I have to maintain and make sure that like nothing crashes, that it's secure. Like nobody can get into the system that's not supposed to be. We also do a lot of work with like detachments since we're expeditionary in nature, as you know. Mm-hmm. We'll go and like build networks in pretty austere hangars. So I have to make sure that the transfer from, we call it the home guard server. We take it from the base server and put it onto the new server that we build.
All right. So I'm trying to take these jobs and like dummy it down as possible to like where civilians will understand it.
Cool.
Are you kind of like the guy who stands behind the counter at Napa and like you go through and just see what you have like in the system and what's in the warehouse?
I'm a little more than that. Like I'm the guy that I man, that's got me fucked up now. I can't unsee that. Now, yeah, I'm more of the guy that builds the system that he uses.
Okay, so it's a lot of the software to make sure that they can actually get the parts and like you put it there and like you put in orders and things like that if things go wrong or no.
Yeah, so I don't actually use it as much. Like more of the maintainers use it and the pilots use it. I just kind of make sure it's all available to them. So like I'll build the system and then they use what I built.
And you're a Marine, right?
Yep. Yes, I am.
All right, so whenever you joined the Marine Corps and they told you this was your job, were you like me and you're like, what the fuck does that mean? Like how did
I have no idea. It was like, yeah, so when I joined, that was, you know, it's 2011. So Afghanistan was just coming to a close. But like a lot of guys that I had gone to school with were in Afghanistan. So they're like, oh, like if you want to go, you have to join the Marine Corps. So of course I listened and I went and I was talking to my recruiter and he was like, oh, we're going to make you open contract. That's like, you have a better chance of getting what you want. It's like, dope, I'll do that. So I remember like being very confused.
Well, yeah, anything they want, hell yeah, I'm going to get something sick.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, dude. I can't wait. Recon for sure. So yeah, I remember like I was very confused when I got to MCT because like all my buddies were going to ITB. Mm-hmm. And then I got orders. So the schoolhouse is in Rhode Island. It's like near the Naval Academy prep school. And they were giving out orders and they gave me mine. And then like I had finally come to grips that I was going to be in the air wing and I was a Pogue. And I was like, okay, whatever, like we'll make this work. And everybody was getting their orders to Pensacola. It was like Pensacola. And then mine, I got them as like RI. And I remember there's a corporal that gave them to me. So the corporal is RI like a different city in Florida? And he's like, no, bitch, like you're going to Rhode Island.
So, I love that he said bitch too. That just brings it, bring it home so much. So you get there and they tell you what to do. How long did it really take you to wrap your head around what your job was going to be? And was that something that you were interested in? And is it something that you like?
So initially, no. I remember showing up and there was like the senior Lance Corporal on deck picked me up and I was asking him like, hey, what do we do here? And he's like, oh, are you good with computers? Like, absolutely not. Like, I've only ever failed one class and that was like a computer literacy class. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you're probably not going to be here very long. It's like, great, that's cool. Vote of confidence right off the bat. And then I found out that if you failed, so it's a 10-month school at the time.
That's a long MOS school.
It was deep, yeah. And I didn't anticipate that it would be that long in the slightest. So I just kind of thought it was going to be like everybody else. Oh, you know, 2 months and then you're gone.
Yeah, to get people that aren't like Marines or haven't ever served. MP school, whenever I went, was 8 weeks long. Dog training school is 13 weeks long after that. So doing a 10-month school, that's on the very longer side of MOS, a military occupation specialty school.
Yeah, it was bananas. And like I said, I didn't really have any affinity for computers. More so the opposite. I was really, really bad with them. And like, I couldn't even fathom. I didn't know what like servers, if you explained any of it to me, I would just like stare at you like, dude, I'm absolutely failing this school. Mm-hmm. So the first like three blocks, and they broke them down in like month long blocks, there were 10 blocks. And they were just like basic math and like just trying to figure out all the acronyms. So I was like, oh, okay, I got this. And then they got to something called subnetting. And that was like, you have to learn hexadecimal. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to bomb this. But I also found out that if you failed the school, they would reclass you. So I thought I was slick. I was like, okay, see it out. And I just circled everything and I got my 40 and I was like happy as hell walking out. And then the first sergeant caught me and he was like, I'll make sure that you're an admin clerk if you fail another one. So
So is it like coding? Like I still don't really understand it. So is it like coding where you build a server? Because I don't know what that means either. So whenever you walk into a spot, that you are expeditionary, what does that look like? How do you build a network from nothing?
So it's kind of wild. They'll give you like they give you a build kit. So it's basically a bunch of CDs and they give you so
like
now
AOL CDs, 500 free hours.
Yeah, man, it's like it's an eerily similar pack up. Obviously, we advance a little slower than everyone else in the world. So they give you this like pack up, and it's like a bunch of discs, and they give you just like a blank. Now it's a computer. It's like a little laptop, like a tough book. Mm-hmm. And then they give you like a systems administrator's manual. And they're like, all right, build it. And so you have to do, like, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, but, like, basically the CDs are preloaded to support, like, all the operations that you're going to have to, you know, run. So that they,
I mean, that's pretty complicated. So say you land on an area, they build, I guess they would have to build a flight line that could sustain F-18. So that's going to take a little while. And then you actually get there. Do you do training where you go to the field and it's like, all right, let's put this together and see how fast we could do it? And if so, how long does that take?
Oh yeah. So like we do ITX. Damn. Like if everything goes well, which it really never does, I would say like probably 2 to 3 days you're in and like all your systems are up.
Damn. And they, so who's like the supervisor for you? Is it that F-18 pilot or how does that work?
It's kind of wild. So like they'll just kind of randomly appoint a an officer, and the interaction's been exactly the same every time. When I get my OIC, they'll walk in and be like, hey, so what do you do? I'm like, sir, it's better if like I don't want to. It's like basically the same pain of me trying to explain this to you, like having no I just get to do that over and over again.
But he knows or she knows that they need it to work, right? Like they know what the purpose of it is or no?
Yeah. Yeah, they know, like they know exactly what it is, and they know that they have to use it and that we are kind of like their lifeline in that aspect. But they don't really know how we do it. So we're just like, we could show up.
So instead of the Napa guy, I'll try to draw another comparison. You're kind of, you're kind of like left guard in football, where the average football fan doesn't know what the left guard is responsible for. But if the left guard fucks up, then it's noticeable.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So it's like totally thankless when everything's going well, but as soon as it's wrong, like everyone knows it was your fault.
Yeah, and that's what, so if you get called into the office, it's not usually like, hey, the system was working really good today. It's the system was working bad.
Yeah, there's a, it's mostly uncomfortable conversations.
So what does that transfer you, like convertible skills, like in the civilian job market, what would you do?
So I would do like, I guess at this level, I would do like network consulting and network security. So like just making sure that, you know, nobody could probe the a company's actual network and like compromise their, so if they have any like information that's indigenous to their company, then they would employ me to try to kind of like protect it and make sure that the people that can access it have access to it.
Do you think you would be better at keeping the internet going than All Business Pete?
Absolutely. Send me the resume. Yeah, I'll send you my resume. It's
All right. Sounds good, man. Hey, Chris, we appreciate your service and thanks for what you do. And thanks for your time for breaking down your job Barney style for us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Have a good one.
You too. Interesting job. I mean, being able to set that up on the battlefield and being able to have to go out there and in 2 days build all these different systems that help the F-18s do what they do. It goes to show you that without jobs that we don't even know about behind the scenes, the military doesn't function the same way. It just doesn't. The support staff is like very, very important. And the things that they do keep the planes in the sky, keep the guns on the ground and things like that. It's pretty awesome.
Now, is he worried about internet birds getting sucked into the engines now that they're going to be in the...
Sadly, I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago before the internet bird talk really took off. We'll have to get him back on the horn and see what his thoughts are about the internet birds for sure. But before we do that, we're going to move on to round number five. Because we always like when people draw things when they run. We've had stories that pop up whenever people do this deployed, whether they're at Kabul or some places like that where they can run. They have big open areas where they're drawing dicks. Kate and I actually interviewed a lady on the Chaps and Kate show who drew nothing but penises every time she ran. And she had like 40 or 50 different tracks that were 5 miles or more where she talked or she just drew penises.
Yeah, using your GPS tracker. So at the end of your run, you can see that you ran in the shape of a giant dick kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what a Piper Cherokee plane did. So on Tuesday around 4 p.m., a Piper Cherokee took off from Harford County Airport near Churchville, Maryland. Over the next 2 hours, a pilot flew a complex path that took him as far as Pretty Boy Reservoir. What a name for a reservoir. Oh. And back east as far as Perryville. I'm glad I'm saying
pretty
these
boy,
things.
Pretty Boy, Pretty Boy.
Pretty bird. I'm sure everybody knows those spots exactly, so I'm glad I said that. When viewed end-to-end, his flight path was about 28 nautical miles end-to-end and about 191 nautical miles total. It delivered a middle finger to the pandemic that continues to ravage the U.S. Fuck COVID-19, it read. The pilot was 19-year-old Towson University student Gregor Hines.
Excuse me, Towson?
Towson. And shoulders, knees, and Towson, knees, and Towson. Towson University.
Eyes and ears and mouth and nose.
Reach my phone, Hines tells Washingtonian.
That song that fucking bangs.
It really does. He hadn't planned to execute
Pause. Before we go on, besides Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes, what other kids' songs bang that you guys remember?
I got it right away.
Okay. Please be
John,
the same one I'm... Oh,
John,
no.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's my name, too.
Yeah. Yes. I was thinking Skinnamarinky-Dinky-Dink.
Skinnamarinky-Doo.
All right, continue with the story.
Wait. Oh. What about, lest we forget... Miss Mary Mac.
It's not as good as you sing it slow-mo. You got to go ham on it.
Yeah, you got to go
no,
ham
you
on
gotta
it.
Go, it.
What about the
slow
ones where,
goes fast.
Did you guys ever do the ones where they build, where it'll be like, there's a hole in the bottom of the sea, there's mm-hmm. a hole in the bottom of the sea, and then it ends, there's a flea on the hair, on the wart, on the frog, on the
buddy,
log, in the hole
you're
in the
talking
bottom of the
about,
sea.
That's a copycat song from the Irish song Rattlin' Bog, okay?
Oh, long time Stooley Rattlin' Bog.
Rattlin' Bog. There's a bird in the egg, and the egg and the nest, and the nest on the twig, and the twig and the branch, and the branch of the tree, and the tree and the hole, and the hole in the bog, and the bog down in the valley. Yo, row, row the rattling bog, the bog down in the valley. Yo, row, row the rattling bog. Anyways, so long story short, this kid from Towson University flew a path that spelled out "fuck COVID-19." It took him 2 hours and 191 nautical miles. But when you go, there's this flightaware.com. where you can put in all your flights. So you can go to this site and look at all these different people's flight paths and what they did.
That's how they track different college coaches going places.
Yes, mm-hmm. that's the site they use. And so you can see exactly what he did. And he spelled it out in bubble letters. Fuck
COVID-19.
Oh,
that's what I was going to say. That is unbelievable. It's block letters, yeah.
And here's
and
the
it's,
thing.
It's very, very clear, too.
Yeah,
it's
very legible. Impressive.
He said when he took off on the flight, he said, I hadn't planned to execute such a flight. We had just got a new compass in the airplane, and I wanted to check it out somehow. While aloft, he realized his flight planning app, ForeFlight, could help him spell out words and stuff. So he's like, I just wanted to express how I felt. So he spent 2 hours just spelling fuck COVID-19 in the sky. What an industrious fellow. Bright
future. I bet he was giggling his little ass off the entire time, too. Like, I can't wait to see this.
He should have drawn a dick, and then the dick was jizzing out fuck COVID-19.
Or what if he wanted to get real fancy with it and went, like, incognito and made it look like the coronavirus cell with all the tentacles and shit?
Terrifying. What? Taking over everything. Yeah. Well, it was just a neat story. It's no sky dick. You know, yeah. We love those, but it was still pretty neat.
Good effort.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Last thing.
Okay.
Funny tank talk. Yeah. Got me thinking, because this story is about airplanes. I was like, ooh, I wonder what like some funny airplane names were. But instead, I stumbled across, there's this website for pilots that they put in their call signs, their military call signs, and they explained why they had that call sign.
Okay.
So here's a couple. Call sign Blow, because the guy's last name was J-O-B-I-N-S, Jobbins, Blow
That's
Jobbins.
That's a good one.
Coma, because he was a very slow-talking Southern guy. Dingle, my last name was Barry.
That's good.
ECM, enlisted chick magnet, because you observe you fly. I know. Electroman, I was like electricity to the ladies, took the path of least resistance.
Yikes.
All right.
Intake, this guy had the largest
pilots are
nose.
Fucking so horny, man.
I know, yeah, right?
Ah, God.
Lest
I mean,
we
Maverick,
forget.
Maverick wanted to do it right there in the bathroom.
Yeah, always. Yep.
Intake, because the guy had a giant nose. That's
I like that.
And then this is my favorite one. The guy's last name was Ma Winnie, M-A-W-H-I-N-N-E-Y. His call sign was Lick Ma Winnie. Anyway, so I gave you guys, I used a call sign generator online, and I looked up. Mine would be, it goes off your birth month and day. Mine would be Nimble Bones, which is cute. Chaps, yours would be Little Legs, and Cons, yours was Big Pastel.
All right, that fits.
Weird. Anyways,
that was cool. All right, let's move on to round number 6, where we have two Navy SEALs in the same exact round. One is Will Chesney, who's a dog handler. So let me give you a little background before we jump in here, because you might be able to tell when we start the interview, my brain was all over the place when we first started. I had made this order where they were going to have a mobile tire installing place was going to come to my house. It was one of the free tire services that was attached to where I bought my rims and tires. The guy came, he brought one rim, that had a tire on it, and then three tires without rims, got out of the car and was like, where are the other rims at? I was like, I don't know, dude. Like, why don't you have them? And he, the order got all fucked up. So they had to send him there. I was talking to him. I knew that the guys were on hold. I came in, messed up their names. So I probably called them different names like 7 or 8 times during the interview. It's going to be fine. What the dog handler's name is Will Chesney. He's a great guy. He's the author of the book. The other is Mark Simos. He's the stunt man who Cons will soon find out that he actually had to leave the Naval Academy the day before he graduated, went on still to become a Navy SEAL, did great things in the SEALs. Then he went on to be a stuntman, and now he's a writer on different shows, including CBS's SEAL show that they have with the guy who played Booth, Ed Bones, who's a stud muffin. Here's the interview with them. Make sure that you buy that book, No Ordinary Dog. You can get it wherever books are sold. Here they are. Now on Zero Block 30, we have the two fellas who wrote a book called No Ordinary Dog. One of them is Mark Chesney. The other is Will Simos. Thanks for joining us, gentlemen. We appreciate it.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So we've had some Bin Laden stories on before from the Bin Laden raid. We've had Rob O'Neill on a couple times. Your story is a little bit different, Will, because you were a dog handler. And I think that a lot of people, whenever you're talking about dog handlers, they don't understand the process of what it gets to take a dog, like on a helicopter and things like that. I was a dog handler for almost 10 years in the Marine Corps, so I have a little bit of familiarity. Can you explain what the role of a dog, whenever you're in like a SEAL team, what you would normally do day to day?
Yeah, the role of the dog would be basically to do anything that we are doing. So it's basically Navy SEAL dog. We have to take care. So they're the one percenters of the one percenters, I guess. So not only are you asking the dog to go and into a dark room at night and pick a fight with somebody twice his size and stay in that fight and do all that stuff, you have to get there as well. So you're asking the dog to, you know, skydive with you, fast rope, rappel, be around explosions and gunfire and this and that, and high intensity stuff. So those are some of the things that we would do together.
It's hard to imagine. Hard to imagine because most dogs are terrified of a vacuum cleaner and you're taking yours into Bin Laden's compound. So like, but so this was 2011 and you had been with Cairo, Belgian Malinois since 2008. So were you already a dog handler before you became a SEAL, or was this a specialty that once you became a SEAL you got? Like, which way does that work?
So as a SEAL, you have different specialties. You just do, like, I was drawn to being a SEAL. There's nothing else I wanted to do in my life. And I found a job that I love and I went with it. In the teams, you kind of do the same thing, whether it's skydiving or breaching, sniper. I love dogs. I've always been a dog person. Mm-hmm. On my first deployment overseas with Dev Group, I saw how valuable the dogs were and just amazing stories night after night. One of the things in the book is raise your hand. I was in the team room once and the saying was, hey, raise your hand if a dog has ever saved your life. And almost everybody raised their hand with not just one story, but multiple stories. So that's kind of what drew me into the program.
Did you guys do, for the SEAL dog that you have, did you have dual purpose dogs that were explosive and patrol, or was yours just straight up patrol dog?
We had dual purposes, yep, explosive and patrol.
And so eventually you're placed with Cairo in 2008, and then leading up to May of 2011, at some point you get tapped. You're going on a secret mission. You're training for it. Did you know what it was? Did you have any, like, inkling in your mind? Or it was just, no, I'm just going to train as hard as I can. Who knows?
That's what we do anyways. We had no idea. But it took a while
to find
out. I was
going to half-ass it, but I decided.
Yeah, you know, this time I might actually pay attention. It's pretty important. You know, with that job, it's always, you know, if not, then you're not going to be there for very long. If you don't keep up, it's not a job that you can slack at for sure.
Right. But did you know then? Did they tell you, or you just get tapped? You're going on this mission. You and Cairo have no idea, but you're along for the ride. Or did you all kind of, was there like scuttlebutt, like, I think this is fucking it? Like,
we had it at the time. So I had just gotten back from deployment as being a handler. It was my time to give the dog back. And I was going to go back to being a soldier, just a regular team member, and pick another duty from there. I was at another school and, my boss calls and he's like, hey, get on a plane. You have an hour or two, check out, come back. I'm like, this is weird. but okay, no big deal. And actually, my best friend was at the school with me at the time. His name is Nick Check. I got back to the classroom. I'm like, hey, man, we're going. And he's like, no, I'm not going. I'm like, that's weird. I'm like, huh, why would they be calling? But anyway, so it was weird from the beginning. He ended up telling everybody in that class the next day that I ended up quitting. So that was funny. Because, yeah, hey, he's like, what happened to your Navy SEAL friend? Oh, he quit.
Pussed out.
He rang the bell.
Yeah. The Blue Falcon strikes.
Yeah. But when we got back, it took a while. We didn't know. There was definitely rumors going around, but it didn't matter. We were just there to do a job, and we were hoping it was something good. And it was.
And I know what my personal worst part about being a dog handler doing training. What was your worst experience being a dog handler?
My worst experience,
like training that you had to do that you're always like, man, this could go bad. And I'm going to end up fucked up.
Oh, well, that I'm glad you meant the hardest part. The hardest part for me was to learn voice inflection. I'm a real quiet kind of guy, and a Navy SEAL surrounded by another. Oh, I mean, it's nothing but jokes and grab ass, right? So I have to scream like a little girl at this dog to give it praise. Nobody's gonna give me shit for this. I'm like, ooh, yeah. So that was exactly. You gotta use that. Like,
that's woo. A good mama. Come here, girl. Yeah.
Navy SEALs.
Like, good boy. Good boy. And they're like, dude, it took me a minute to come around, and eventually, it's like, I don't care what I sound like or what you guys say.
Yep. As that was my favorite because I was an instructor at the schoolhouse here. And that was one of my favorite things is taking the junior Marines that would come in and be like, all right, you guys all lined up and do your praise voice. And it goes from being boot camp, MP school, MCT, to being at dog handler school where you're asking these folks who have just learned how to be tough to be like, yee-hee-hee, the highest pitched voice they possibly can. It was total opposite from what they had been doing.
Exactly. Took a second to come around, but then I'm like, all right, once I had it, anything, whatever it takes to get this dog, the point across to this dog. Hey, dude, you're doing a good job, buddy.
Because mine was fast groping with the dog because they're like riding your dick.
So yeah, that would be my most dangerous situation with the dog. I had the fast rope device, and I didn't have a quick release. We just used a regular carabiner to detach from the device. Once my feet touched the ground, you have to detach. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get that carabiner. It was on the side of a mountain, so the chopper was going up. Cairo doesn't like rotor wash, he's going down, and I'm stuck in the middle. Like, oh man. So I'd have to throw him, try to unclip, and it just it wasn't happening for a while. And eventually I was like, this helicopter's about to, if they don't see me, this helicopter's about to take off.
You're gonna be swinging like you're fucking Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, that's not gonna be. It's all good though. We would have landed fine, I'm sure.
And Mark, you're a Navy SEAL too, right?
I was, yeah.
Yeah. So when did you get out?
I got out in 2009.
Right, and what have you been up to since?
Shit, man. I got out, did a little contracting first, and then said, "Fuck this." Became a stuntman. Worked as a stuntman for almost 7 years. And then wrecked my shoulder and my neck, kind of had to rethink the plan. So then I started writing, and now I write and produce the show SEAL Team on CBS.
That's awesome. Nice. And how did you two link up?
How did we link up?
Through
a couple mutual friends.
And when did the idea, and again, I feel like Chaps is like, we're talking dog because he knows that stuff. But I would love to hear just a little bit more of the story and you know, you get tapped to do this. Were there other dogs on the mission? And what, can you give us a brief idea of what that night was like? I know people who want to hear more about it can read about it in your book, No Ordinary Dog. But can you give us kind of like a brief summary of what that was like?
Yeah, our job that night was, well, the dog's most valuable tool is his nose, right? So my job was that night was to search for explosives or any men, right? Any hidden holes or false walls. So I was just basically there to babysit him, and he did all the work, right? I landed, I let him go, and I just watched him for his call. We call it like a change of behavior. And that means, he has something. This might be important. Pay attention. And then they'll usually work to the source of the odor that you have trained them to go to, whether it's, you know, cadavers or narcotics. His was explosives and men. Our job that night was to do perimeter sweeps, and we did our perimeter sweeps looking for any tunnels, any explosives, any booby traps. reps. And then once we were done with that job, we made our way to the inside and we just did our same sweeps.
Good. I thought you were going to say they put you on squirter patrol because that's the fucking worst.
Well, just to be, yeah, it just depends.
I thought you were going to say, actually, it was a porn sniffing dog, and boy, did we find a stash in there. My goodness. That guy had a lot of weird shit on his computer.
That's why he was acting, that's why he was going crazy. He was just doing circles all around, even from the outside.
This is a dumb question. Is it different at night? Can they, is it, because they can't see the same, right? Is it different, or they just kind of are still, it's just their nose is kind of their eyes?
Nose, and I'm sure their eyes just adjust, and they mostly use their nose, and yeah, they make it work.
And so the operation is successful, it ends, and then you go back to more deployments again, and then you had a really difficult experience. Can you talk a little bit about that and how Cairo kind of helped you through that too?
Yeah, in 2012, I was hit by a hand grenade in Afghanistan. And after that, it was pretty much downhill from there. I had, even before then, all the small concussive blasts, whether it's breaching or rockets or hard hits on the head from sky, any of the stuff that we do is pretty rough, you know?
Yeah.
I think the accumulation of all that, and I wasn't doing so good. I'd lost a few friends, which is really tough on me, and lots of alcohol on that, I'm sure, didn't help. So, but with all that combined, I think the grenade explosion in 2012 was the tipping point. And from there, started getting real bad migraines. My memory loss was just, I couldn't keep up with the other men on the team. And then eventually I just thought I was a liability. Mm-hmm. And the other men on my team were amazing. They saw that as well. But I had to step down, and they saw it. But it's just kind of, it's a hard thing to do, is step down to my job. It's been my life since I was a 17-year-old kid that grew up in a trailer park, and went from that to being around some of the best men in the world doing the job that I love. And so it was pretty hard to, I guess, throw in the towel, but it was, I found a lot of great people out there to help me these days. There's great foundations. I went to talk about my best friend, Jared Shaw, earlier. He mm-hmm. reached out to me. And if it wasn't for him, there's no telling what I might've done. But he put me in contact with a great lady, runs Brain Treatment Foundation, and that was kind of one of my first steps of getting better. And I'm still working on it. There's all kinds mm-hmm. of modalities out there to use, definitely, but it's a process. I tell anybody to hear this. One of the reasons to tell the story is not only telling Cairo's story and bringing attention to amazing dogs in the military and service dogs, but also if veterans hear my story and they can relate, just reach out to somebody, or you know somebody that might need a hand, reach out to them. There's great people out there that'll help you. So, you
know, yeah, absolutely.
Quickly.
We always say there's no shame to the game. And I think a lot of people are like, it makes you, and we're like, we've had some of the most badass people who have done the most badass shit on here. And they're like, yeah, I go to therapy. I do this. I do that. It's like normal maintenance on yourself. And it's always a work in progress. And I think it's awesome that you're speaking about it, that you have this book. And when did the idea come that this was really something you wanted to write about and push out there?
At first, while I was in the community, I never really thought about writing a book. I mean, that's just not things that we do normally. I mean, I guess there's a lot of SEAL books out there, but it just never crossed my mind.
I was about to say, yeah, it is, dude.
But after getting out, just realizing that I started seeing things that just weren't true about Cairo. It's not the worst thing in the world, but it's just not the truth. And this is a big part of history. I read SEAL books joining the military. If this can get guys or girls, read this book and just join the Navy or in the military period, become a handler, become a SEAL, or just love your dogs. That's kind of the thing. I wanted to tell the truth about Cairo. It's a big part of history. And then what we discussed earlier brings attention to dogs. And if I can bring attention to other, or helping other veterans, then
because we have a lot of listeners who would think about joining the show that are civilians, and they listen to the show and think that what we talk about makes the military sound cool, even though we do a lot of shitting on it too, like the day-to-day life of what it actually is like. But I get the question all the time, how can I be a dog handler? And the truth of the matter is, it's difficult. Like, it's not something that you can just walk into a recruiter and say, I want to be a dog handler, or else the line out the door would be extremely long. It's tough to be a dog handler.
Definitely. But you just got to find, I guess, in my case, like, why do you want to be a SEAL? I found the thing that I would be willing to die for. That's what I'm going to do. There's nothing else. So you find that job. But if it's a dog handler, like you said, it's not an easy road. But if that's what you really, really want to do, well, then do your research and dive in as deep as you can. But yeah, no, it's not an easy path at all.
And for Mark, how did you transition to becoming a writer? Because that's, I mean, you think of a lot of SEALs, they are writers now, but traditionally you wouldn't think of somebody who's a Navy SEAL going into the path that you've taken too. Was that difficult? Did you use your GI Bill or were you an officer before? Or how did that work
out? No, I was almost an officer actually, in a weird way. I went to the Naval Academy and I got thrown out.
So a chief warrant officer.
Something. I actually got thrown out of the Naval Academy the last day of school my senior year.
Wow.
Go on.
This is some tea.
Yeah, exactly. So I ended up enlisting because I owed all that money back for the education. So I went through BUDS as an E3 after spending a little bit of time at Transient Personnel Unit, which was wonderful. I learned how to use a floor buffer, do some other fun stuff.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Which was a trip because I ended up going through BUDS with guys who were a year behind me at the academy, only they were ensigns and I was an E3.
Oh, man.
And so, you know, I did my career. I enjoyed my time. I decided to leave for a whole host of reasons. And then, honestly, I needed money. So I got lucky. I started working in the film industry. I was teaching firearms at a school here in Los Angeles. I was teaching a shotgun course and a pistol course. And two of the guys there were stuntmen, asked me if I wanted to make some extra money. And I was a little suspect at first. It's Los Angeles,
I'm not
right?
Dick.
Like somebody's like, hey, man, you want to make some extra money? I'm like, maybe.
I know what you're doing here. To get me in your limo and stick your fan.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Gary.
Gary.
But yeah, so I did that and it was awesome. Stunt community it's a lot like being in the military. The guys take care of themselves or take care of each other rather. Cause you're doing dangerous shit, right? Like at any point you can get hurt and everybody realizes that. Everybody knows when it's your turn to go, there's a chance you can get injured. So all the guys rigging are also stuntmen. And so they know what's happening. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was great. I did.
But how great is that at the bar whenever you're talking to?
Oh, no, believe you. No,
like,
no.
Hey, I'm a stuntman and a Navy SEAL. They're like, oh, shut the fuck up.
No, what? No, no fucking woman in the world believes you.
Right.
Like, what do you do? Well, I used to be a Navy SEAL, but now I'm a stuntman.
Like, okay, bitch.
For the record, still would have worked on me whether I believed you or not. It would have.
No, they look like a homeless person right now.
I do. Yeah, this is quarantine Mark, right? No, so I did that. And then I worked on Marcus's movie, Lone Survivor. And I got just super lucky. The director, Peter Berg, kind of took me under his wing and was just extraordinarily generous with his time. And I started actually learning film, which quite honestly, like I was doing stunts because I liked doing stunts, not because I liked film. And as I started learning film, one of the things you realize quickly is you're just learning how to tell stories through a different medium. And once you realize what you're actually doing, you start looking for stories. And, you know, Will came up to a friend and said, hey, I want to tell this story. And I thought, well, shit, there's something here. This is something more than just your average SEAL book.
And before we get back into the book, was there a moment whenever you're a stuntman where you go up to the set and you're just like, you want me to do fucking what?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no, right? Because it's actually not a lot. It's not a lot different than being a team guy.
Yeah.
Like, so wait, let me get this straight. You want me to swim for a couple miles and then you want me to walk for 3 or 4 miles and then you want me to do some SEAL shit and then you want me to do the same thing back to leave? Okay. Cool. Let's do that.
We need a guy to ride a floor buffer for this next one. I got it. Yeah. I know how it works.
I can whack the deck, no joke.
Nice. Yeah.
And that's awesome. We do joke like, oh, like, you know, SEALs write books, but it is because you're talking about finding stories. Yeah. Most of us do not have stories like that. It takes an incredible amount of discipline to even reach that level of skill that allows you to do these things. And the people I've found through our interviews stuff. Generally some pretty damn interesting people. So he talks to a friend, he's looking to tell this story and you pick up on it. And was it just an initial phone call and you were like, yep, let's follow this further? How did the whole process unravel?
I had been hired as a producer at the company that made the film Act of Valor. Mm-hmm. And so Will and I met in Miami and sat down for the first time, and he told, you know, because I only knew it was the guy with the dog in the Bin Laden raid.
And, but that's, you know, some, like, start... if you're looking for SEO words for, like, trending words of
yeah, exactly,
people
right.
be interested in, yeah. Bin Laden, Navy SEAL, dogs. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And, like, how do you beat that combination? But at the same time, like, what else is there?
Yeah.
Like, what else is there? How do you round that out? How do you make that something that you know, has a structure to it that people can latch onto, right? Like, all of our stories have structure. And there's ways to tell stories, and there's ways not to, and it can't just be the guy with the dog. And then, you know, we met Will and we listened to him and heard what he had to say, and there was something more. He had a message. He had a desire to reach people, not just to tell his own story, but to help people. And if you read the book, I gotta say, it's one of the least self-aggrandizing SEAL books out there. It's about a dog. It's about a relationship with a dog. It's about a team. It's really not Will talking about Will, which I love. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was validated once I started writing on the CBS show SEAL Team, because one of our most popular characters is our dog. I mean, we get fan mail all the time saying, if you fucking kill that dog, I will never watch your show again.
Noted. Okay.
Yeah.
Just have it every week. It's a cliffhanger that the dog's about to die. And then he comes back next week that. Like John
We've milked
Snow.
That. We've milked that once or twice for sure. Yeah.
And Will, I'm sure with a story like this, and because I think of people who are involved in very well-known raids, whether it be to get al-Baghdadi, whether it be to get Saddam Hussein or Bin Laden, when you're introduced places and if you're speaking, people mention the fact that you were on the Bin Laden raid first. I'm sure that's got to be tiresome after a while, because you're like, I've lived a full life other than that, and that's just one snapshot. Was it kind of freeing for you writing this book and be like, look, there's so much more to me than just this Bin Laden raid?
Yeah, definitely. That was a huge part of my life, but that's not the only part of my life. And it's like Mark said, I'm not very comfortable talking about myself, and it's not about me. There's guys on my team that have done way more stuff than I have, but I'll sit there and talk about Cairo and our story all day long. It's a good story. People are loving it so far. It's like a Navy SEAL Marley and me.
That's a great one. Is the best way to pitch it. Navy SEAL Marley. And you said
you should get Owen Wilson to play you.
Yeah, brilliant. You said, you know, after your injury. Yeah, he might. He could. You said in 2012, after you got injured, you know, Cairo comes back and kind of saves you all over again, you write about. And were you out at this point? Is that Cairo?
That is Nala. She is a 6-month Nala. Old puppy. She's a handful. I tell you.
Beautiful.
But I love her. She's
beautiful.
See, that's the only people that I say should have Belgian Malinois as pets are former dog handlers or people who don't value their possessions.
Yeah, that's one of my messages I like to put out, is like one of those movies that came out and everybody went and bought them. Mile afterwards, like, please do not,
like, what are you doing? I said the same thing. I was like, they are the best working dogs. I would pick a Malinois over anything, but they will not be in my house, like, because I have kids and shit. Like, no way, man. I don't have the time to work those animals.
That's it. If you have the time and you know what you're doing, then they're a great dog, or purchase one that's already trained. But if you just go and like, I got this, well,
no, you don't.
The dog's gonna be a liability. No, you don't. The dog's gonna be a liability, possibly. You know, if you get the wrong, every dog is different temperaments. Mm-hmm. You might get lucky and get a sweet one. You might not. And then if you don't train it, it could be a liability. And then it's not fair to the dog. Yeah. You know, because what's gonna happen to that dog just because you decided to go anyways? But yeah, please don't go out and purchase one. But if you want to learn about it, go read An Ordinary Dog. And that's
there you go. All right, so I have one last question for both of you guys. Recently on one of our other podcasts on the Barstool Network, they were talking about ideal road trips, of who you'd want to go on a road trip. I want to give you guys the opportunity to pick 3 SEALs that you've worked with in the past, and you are taking a road trip with them. Who are those 3 SEALs?
Good question. That I've worked with in the past. Who's going first? You going first or me?
Nah, you better go first. I got to think about it. Right?
3 SEALs in the past. I met Mike Thornton. I like to
Know
Law Honor recipient. Seems like a great man. I like to just listen to him talk and tell stories from back then in the day. And then,
And you could throw some people in that aren't SEALs too, if you just want to have a road trip.
We're available.
Like, for instance, mine was Steve Kerr, George W. Bush, and Nina from 24.
Okay. All right. Well, Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah. Take the wheel. He could take the wheel, you know?
What a Sunday school answer. The easy way out with Jesus.
That's a good one. It's who's hands down. And then, let's say, like, I like to hang out with Dakota Meyer. I haven't met him yet, but I'd like to talk with him. I've heard him speak about brain health quite a bit, and he seems like an interesting fellow.
Yeah, his show, his episode with us is one of my favorites that we've done. He's a good dude. We talked to him quite a bit. That's a good – so you have Jesus, Mike Thornton, and Dakota Meyer.
That's a little weird now that I hear it back.
I want to know what Jesus says to Mike Thornton. That's going to be an interesting fucking conversation.
I want to see what Jesus has to say about Teen Mom, because Dakota was on that for a while. Get Jesus' thoughts on Teen Mom. What about What about you, Mark? Who are your 3B?
I'm going to say – and it doesn't have to be team guys. I'll choose one team guy. I would go on a road trip with Marcus and catch up with him. And then I think I would add Peter Attia, because the guy's a genius. And probably Joe Rogan, just because I think that shit would be hilarious.
Yeah, and you'd have a lot of good weed.
Yeah, exactly. We'd be smoking all the time.
If it was all SEALs, giant... Marcus is on my list. Sorry.
Yo, Marcus, I'm just picturing giant van full of Navy SEALs, Joe Rogan, Jesus, and then like seven Belgian Malinois hanging out the windows.
Smoke pouring out of the windows.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Joe, you guys listening? Better not stop anywhere there's like an affliction, like a convention or anything like that. Everybody tried to get a hold of you.
Yeah. We can make it happen, but it's minus one.
Yeah, Jesus could be there as long as two. All right, fellas, we appreciate your time. Go check out the book No Ordinary Dog. Check out CBS's SEAL team as well. That's great. I'm a huge Bones guy too.
That was one of my favorite shows
for a long time.
And where can people
absolutely let Dave know?
Where can people find you guys? Are you guys on Twitter or Instagram or anything like that? Or
I'm No Ordinary Dog book on Instagram and Facebook.
Keeping it personal, love it.
I'm just Mark Simos on Instagram.
There you go.
All right, sweet. Yeah.
All right, fellas, thanks for your time. Stay safe during this quarantine season. Enjoy that 6-month-old puppy. I actually told one of my coworkers that I was thinking about, with quarantine going on, this is a perfect time for me to do dog content. Like, maybe I'll go get a young Mal and teach people how to train the dog on video, on live stream every day. And then I looked around my house. I'm like, I got some nice shit. I don't think I am.
Yeah. You got to Maligator proof it. But yeah, thank y'all for having us. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks,
thank you very much.
Take it easy, fellas.
Thank you, guys.
Take it easy.
I know people probably wanted to hear from them and talk to them about or hear about like the Bin Laden story, but we've had Rob O'Neill on the show and things like that. So I think we've heard the Bin Laden story a few different times. I love talking to dog handlers, and Kate basically had to tell me stop talking about dogs. Essentially,
I felt so bad, but I never get enough of those like first person accounts of that shit. And so I was like, I want to hear the story. I want to hear the story. And Chaps is like, I want to hear the dog stuff. I want to hear the dog stuff. And then we both were just like wagging our tails all over them, trying to get what we wanted out of them. And so I don't know. I still not
and credit to them for not being upset that I kept calling them the wrong names.
Yes, that was very nice of them.
Did I ever tell you guys the story of how I almost made a career out of being a stuntman?
No.
So when I was transitioning out of the military, I think I've said it before, where I went and I worked on the movie Dark Knight Rises. Mm-hmm. So after that, I had enough paychecks that I could have joined the SAG, the Screen Actors Guild. Yeah. A very good friend of mine is a stuntman. He makes a living as a stuntman. So this was before I had found work doing whatever. So I started working out with him, and it was going to be planned. He was going to bring me onto the set of his next movie and try to work me into some of the stunts. And then it just never came to fruition. But that was my short-lived career as a potential stuntman.
Oh,
damn.
Can you do a cartwheel?
Yeah, I could do. I don't know. I could do a lot of things, and I think it's more about
can you do a
not
back
necessarily. I don't know.
Can you do it?
Oh no! See, I'm not gonna let you get away with that. Yeah. If you could do a back tuck, you know, you can
for
do
sure.
Backflip.
Yeah.
No, I can't do a backflip.
Okay, well, that was the wrong answer. I don't know. It's not the correct answer.
Right.
Huh. All right. But being a stuntman is more about knowing how to fall and things of that nature, not necessarily being nimble and doing gymnastics.
She learned that in gray belt.
It's true.
McMahon.
Yes.
A little proper break fall action.
I don't like to brag.
Yep. Hmm. Just throw the old shoulder through the legs. That's how you do it whenever you do a front forward roll. All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. What do we got first up, Cons?
So I've become a espresso at night guy. Mm. I'm up already.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I just, you know what? I just like the taste of it. And I enjoy having a nice little espresso while I'm watching TV in the evening. So whatever, sue me.
I think it's great.
Golf courses back open in New Jersey this weekend, which is big, obviously for those who enjoy golf. But I just think it feels it gives off that feeling, that positive feeling that we're moving in the right direction of things as other states start to open slowly. Obviously, we're going to do it safely in a manner that makes the most sense. But it just gives me a lot of hope for the future, especially the summer if the golf courses are starting to open.
And we all like to feel safe, right, Cons?
Right, absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
So if you want to feel safe, make sure you go with Simply Safe. They have made it easy to get comprehensive protection for your home. There's no technician or salesperson that needs to come and disrupt your house. They don't need to pay any outrageous monthly fees or sign a two-year contract. Use order online, set yourself up in under an hour, and your home is protected 24/7 with emergency dispatch for break-ins, fire, and more, and for all just for 50 cents a day. And we're not the only fans of Simply Safe. U.S. News and World News ranks them as the number one best overall home security of 2020. Right now, you can get it for free if you go to simplysafe.com. Or not free. Simplysafe.com. Yeah, for free. With a free with a 60-day risk-free trial. My God. Simplysafe.com/ZBT. Our listeners will get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. That's it. That's simplysafe.com/ZBT to make sure they know our show sent you from Simply Safe for all of us here, wishing you safe and good health. It threw me off not doing it in the FDR voice. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that.
In the FDR voice.
Yeah.
Sheesh. And then lastly, a Tuesday up here in New York City, we had a very sunny, very warm day, if Kate, you remember. And I saw two gentlemen running with their shirts off. It seemed a little early for me, but I wanted to get your guys' take on what are the rules around running with one's shirt off?
Depends. Well, if you're ripped, I don't want to see it. If you're chubby or you're like dad body, I'm okay. But if you're just ripped and you look like fucking, what's his name? The George St. Pierre. I don't want to see that shit. Yeah. Don't try to make me feel bad. You got to be at least a little bit out of shape.
I have been thinking about running topless around my neighborhood just to give the locals something to look at while they're stuck in their houses. Like, wait, did that lady just run by with her tits out? Like, you know, just like, honey, you're not going to believe it. Like, just for a little something to chatter up the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So I might.
Okay. Well, all right. You guys heard it here first. Those are the rules to run with your shirt off. Got to be a chubster. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Or tits out for entertainment. <I'm> not...
I didn't want
just
to be
for the joke.
To say it,
but just for the
just
joke.
Just for the joke.
It's just a joke. Prank.
Just nipples for a prank. Just goofing.
And then if you
get a little nip goofing.
But I would say I would do it safely. I would be yelling as I went down the street, put your kids away. My tits are out. So.
All right.
Okay. Kate, what about you?
Okay, my save rounds. First of all, last week we were talking about Trump going to West Point for the address, and I was like, well, I wonder what the students think, the cadetaroons. Well, guess what? I heard from one who said, I'm a West Point cadet. Just listened to the podcast where you talked about West Point graduation ceremony, and I thought ZBT did a fair job looking at the different considerations, but I have to say, Cons is such a dummy dum-dum face. McPoopy McGonagall head.
Wow.
No, wait, I just made that part up.
Poopy McGonagall. My goodness gracious.
I just made that part up. You're a delight.
The family show.
But they did say, I can tell you from my personal perspective that graduation is the one day I've looked forward to since the first time I saw one my plebe year. I'm graduating this year, by the way. Graduation day was the thing that motivated me during a lot of shitty times at West Point, so having it is really important to me. Even though it will suck if my family can't see me toss my hat in the air. Still just want to toss that hat in the air. Just my two cents. Hope you're doing well. Blah, blah. So, you know, it's, yeah, I get it. Also, T's and P's because Kyle, our social media guy, got some hot intel that the Navy base in Bahrain has secured their smoke pits. Uh-oh, not fun. What are you going to do? Smoking is secured. Tough times.
Whoa. Yeah, and in Bahrain, especially during like a little deployment goofing whenever you're there, that's all you have is ripping Miamis.
That's terrible. What else are they going to do? I don't know. So Godspeed to them.
Train? Fuck that.
No.
Absolutely not.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I don't have much. I'm looking forward to doing more car stuff. If you want to check it out, you can go sit my ride and check it out this weekend. I think this weekend I'm putting on a little bit of a new grill. Might do a bull bar too. And then soon it's going to be all the different stuff on the inside because I'm almost done with the outside. Hopefully I get my new rims and tires actually tomorrow. That would be great. That's all I'm thinking about is buying stuff from eBay. It's really the first time I've ever been a huge eBay shopper at all. And that place has everything.
Oh, yeah. I'm starting.
I will never bid. I only do buy it now. I'll never bid on anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting to go on Everest.
Because I'd be crushed if I thought I was going to get a good deal and I lost it, I'd be crushed.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, and usually the prices are pretty reasonable to just buy.
Yeah, and they are reasonable. So it's surprising whenever there's something that's not. Like, I went through and I was like, oh, you could buy a full fucking car. Because Kyle had said that he bought a Mustang whenever he was in high school. 17 years old, bought a Mustang to fix up. So I was cruising through there. Saw a 1974 Ford Bronco, the big boy edition. Whoa. And it had a brand new Ford engine in it, like, and everything. Brand new V8. And it had new interior. It had a gray matte paint job that looked beautiful. It was completely redone and perfect. And I saw the price and I was like, 25 grand. Like 25 grand, that's a fucking great deal for a Bronco that's primo condition with a brand new engine and shit like that. I told my wife, I leaned over, I was like, I might put in an offer on this shit right now. And she was like, no, you're not. And then I looked down again and it was $225,000.
Oh, fuck.
Like, that makes holy sense. Shit. And I was like, I was like, 25 grand, that's a great deal, because I would have thought 50, 225, get out of town.
That's tough.
I'd be getting targeted Ford Bronco ads on Instagram.
Because they're about to launch a new one.
Oh, all right. Well, that's why. Okay.
Yeah.
They thought you were going to murder someone soon.
Yeah. OJ gets out, now you're releasing a new Bronco. Doesn't seem like the best time.
No, very strange indeed.
Yeah. All right, I guess that's it for the show today. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back here on Tuesday.